Welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today I have David Meerman Scott. Hi, David.
Hey, it's great to be here.
How are you doing?
Good.
So, David, tell us a little bit about you and what you're doing. I've just seen you talk. Great presentation at the Inbound Marketing UK conference.
Yeah, so I'm here with a bunch of people in the room. I think 250 people are here, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I make my living by giving speeches and writing books about marketing, specifically about the changes that the web has brought to marketing in general.
Mm-hmm.
But I come at it from the background that I've got, having spent a bunch of time in the financial markets. I worked on a bond trading desk for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in the financial information business for 6 years.
Okay.
The company I was working for was acquired by Reuters.
Right.
And then I worked for in the real-time news business. I was vice president of marketing in a company called NewsEdge.
Is that like a on-the-wire type of...
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And this was pre-web.
Right.
So this was before anybody could have access to real-time news and data.
Okay.
And you had to spend lots and lots of money
tape.
To have it. Yeah, well, it was after ticker tape. Ticker tape was my grandfather's era. So in between ticker tape and the web is what we're talking here. But think Reuters. That's the idea.
So
the idea of real-time financial information
mm-hmm.
and real-time news is always intriguing to me.
Right.
And I realized 10 years ago that was the driver
mm-hmm.
of modern marketing.
Yes.
And nobody was talking about that at that point. That was 2002. So that's when I started my business, started writing books. I've written 9 books so far.
Yeah.
Actually, sorry, 8. I'm working on my 9th. And so it's about arming people, business owners, entrepreneurs, marketers,
mm-hmm.
PR people, with the idea that marketing is about instant communications and marketing is about creating content.
Yeah.
Put those two things together, content creation and instant, and you have a winner.
Fantastic. So let's come deal with the latter first. We'll come
sure.
back to the former. So we're at an inbound marketing conference. I mean, why is inbound and content marketing becoming so important, do you think?
Well, because there's when people research a product or service that they might be interested in buying, they very frequently do two things. Number one, they go to a search engine, Google, Bing, Yahoo, whatever. They go to a search engine, or the Google search engine, interestingly, and they enter a search term.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge is, how can your company's products and services and your ideas get surfaced
mm-hmm.
when they enter that search? That's the first thing they do. The second thing people do is they tap their network
mm.
of friends, of colleagues, of family members. And they tap that network frequently through using some kind of electronic means. It could be Twitter, it could be Facebook, it could be LinkedIn,
sure.
or it could be email, by the way.
Yeah.
And then
really sociable tool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, many people still use email. But so the challenge there is, okay, if somebody says, geez, I'm thinking about buying a new camera, what kind of camera do you have? And would you recommend it? You want people to send a link to you,
mm.
even if it's on email.
Mm.
Because then they're already into your buying process.
Right.
And so, the best content wins, both in the case of search engines, who's going to find, you know, who's going to be found in the search engines, but also whose information is going to get shared.
Yes.
Through the social networks.
Okay. Now, content marketing, inbound marketing is just fast rising up the agenda and getting so much more attention. I mean, what is its impact going to be on traditional marketing, which is the more sort of broadcast above the line, you know, buying attention, buying awareness? Is it going to crowd it out? Is it going to be competitive, or are they going to have to work together to find some sort of fit?
Well, they're competitive in the sense that they're competing. Inbound marketing, content marketing, whatever you call it, is competing with traditional marketing, you know, magazine ads, radio ads, television ads, all that sort of stuff, both in terms of budget within companies and also in terms of what people are working on, so human,
mm-hmm.
the human cost of
mm-hmm.
employees or outsourced people. So there's definitely competition there. But in my mind, it's not an either-or proposition. I mean, for most businesses, it doesn't mean that you do zero traditional advertising and zero traditional public relations and zero sales.
Sure.
You still have some combination of those things. But whereas a company 20 years ago might have spent $10 million on their advertising and all of that advertising was offline because we had no online advertising,
mm-hmm.
now if they're spending, say, $9.5 million on offline and only 500,000 on online, which is very typical.
Sure.
It's completely the wrong ratio.
Right.
It should be, in my mind, I mean, it depends on the market, depends on the, but half and half or even
right.
more so. I mean, because...
But the needle is shifting.
The needle is shifting. So, but I am not of the belief that traditional is going away.
Okay. So they just need to, there may be a period where they become uncomfortable bedfellows.
But it's a, you know, whenever there's a revolution, it is a difficult process.
Mm.
Any kind of revolution. I've been lucky enough to present in a number of different Eastern European countries. And 20 years after their revolutions, we are, you know, they're still
feeling a bit
edgy. Yeah, they are, 20 years later. And the revolution of marketing, and it is a revolution, the revolution of marketing that's been brought on by the fact that we now can create content on the web is, I think, the most important revolution in communication since the invention of the printing press. No doubt about that in my mind.
There you go.
The invention of the printing press 500 years ago and the invention of the web today, equally important, if not, you know, the web might be more important. So that revolution takes a long time to manifest itself.
Yeah.
I mark the starting point in my mind is August of 1995. And the reason I chose that date is because that's when Netscape went public. The first widely available web browser.
Yeah.
And for that reason, we're 17 years into it.
Mm. And not long.
You know, that's the little bit less than Poland has been an independent country. You know, so you think about revolutions.
Sure.
And so we've got a long way to go.
Yeah. So, I mean, it brings me back to the initial point that you made. And you talked about real-time marketing. And then you've also written a book which is aligned with this called Newsjacking.
Yep.
Now that's a completely different sort of mindset because, you know, you talked in the presentation, you talked about campaigns and planning and sort of working kind of months out, but actually you're now talking about actually there's opportunity if you just turn yourself on and be present.
Yeah, marketing and public relations for decades and decades has been about what a company does and on the company's timetable.
Right.
So the company would say, I need to create an advertising campaign. I need to create a PR campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And they would plan that for next week, next month, next quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a campaign mode. Note the war metaphor, by the way, campaign. And the problem, and again, that's not going away. I'm not saying it's either or. However, the world is happening right now.
Yes.
This instant, right now, this second, there's stuff happening. There's people on your website.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
There's things happening in the news. How does that affect your business? There's people talking about you, your company, your products, your services, or the general marketplace that you serve on Twitter, on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
There's people creating YouTube videos that are about your products or related to your products. And that's all happening right now. So just like a bond trader, companies are going to need to adapt to the idea of instant communications. And the revolution in the bond market took quite a few years to manifest itself.
Sure.
To become real time.
Mm-hmm.
Because the bond markets used to be telephone trading, and you know that they'd update the prices once a day, and you'd find out the prices in the Wall Street Journal and the FT.
Yeah.
And now the prices are updated every second. Or more, and more than that, multiple times a second.
And you've got computers that are watching.
Yeah, exactly.
Automatic trades.
And that's what's happening in marketing. That's what's happening in public relations. It's all about instant.
So if I was a small business owner, marketeer, entrepreneur listening to this, and you're going, blimey, that's all very new. My head feels like it's about to explode. Where do I start?
Well, what I always suggest to people is a couple of things. The first thing is that you need to start to create a culture around creating content.
Okay.
And that mainly, in my mind, means you've probably got the wrong people employed in your organization, or you're hiring the wrong agencies today in your organization. Because most companies, big companies that have dedicated marketing and PR people, small companies that use outsourced people, have hired those people who understand traditional marketing and public relations. They understand how to execute campaigns in the future. They understand how to do interruption-based advertising and pitch-based public relations.
Yeah.
And again, those things aren't going away. But to be successful with content marketing, you need to think like a publisher of information. And to be successful with real-time marketing, you need to think like a financial bond trader.
Mm.
And so that means I literally suggest people hire journalists onto their staff.
Okay.
Either full-time or part-time. If you're big, hire full-time journalists. If you're smaller, hire a part-time journalist or pay them on an hourly basis, whatever it takes. Those are the people that you should use to create content. Because those are the people who understand how to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
If they're a print journalist, they know how to write. If they're a broadcast journalist, they know how to create videos, mm-hmm. and or audio content.
Yeah, indeed.
And which we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And you know, how much different is what we're doing right now, which is creating audio content, from, say, making a radio advertising spot?
Exactly.
I mean, it takes a different mindset. It takes a journalist's mindset as opposed to an advertiser's mindset.
I think the important thing I would add here is that I'm not a journalist, but I've written different things throughout my career, as an economist, as a blogger now, as whatever. And the thing is, you can hire the skills to do that, and that's the quick shortcut. But also the other thing I would point out is that it can be learned. It just needs time and effort and commitment to
it. Yes, it can be learned, because I was not a trained journalist either. But I've written 9 books. I write for the Huffington Post. Yeah. I write magazines. I've written probably 1,000 magazine articles.
Sure.
Yeah, I do it myself. I've got a blog as well. You can learn it, but it's not easy to learn. And if you have someone on your staff that can help teach you, that's a lot better.
Fantastic. So in the interest of time, and I know you've got to shoot off to the airport, I always like to end these conversations with one question,
mm-hmm.
and that question is, what would you like to shamelessly plug?
What would I like to shamelessly plug? Go to Google and type in newsjacking, one word,
mm-hmm.
Which is the latest book I wrote. Just take a look at what's going on with this concept of newsjacking. It's basically the idea of inserting your ideas into a breaking news story. It's a really, really interesting and a really, really exciting.
Fantastic. David, thank you so
much.
Yeah,
my pleasure. Thanks.